Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Well, in the first half, we'll get into some very interesting bumper stickers. Also, tell you a little tale about the Feds raising the interest rates and compare it to when I was coming up, and much more. And we'll do that right after this.
Hey, everyone, it's Megyn Kelly. I wanted to tell you about my free audio podcast, The Megyn Kelly Show, your home for open, honest, and provocative conversations. Get the real news and straight talk and maybe the occasional F-bomb only when it's needed. Every weekday, the truth about the news, the media, and more from an insider's perspective. You can follow the show and never miss a moment. You will get no BS, no agenda, and no fear. Follow The Megyn Kelly Show on Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, Pandora, or wherever you get your podcast for free, and we look forward to having you.
Back inside the toolbox, Rolling Stone magazine put out another article displaying their immense lack of intelligence on the matter of music. This time, the top 100 bands of all time. Guess what we didn't know that the staff at Rolling Stone knew? The Ramones are one of the greatest bands ever. They're better than The Clash. Look, while Joey Ramone wanted to be sedated, The Clash's Joe Strummer was wide awake and dreaming, offering a real-time satiric commentary on the state of the world. So let's give all 10 middle fingers to the staff at Rolling Stone, not just for this, but also for putting NSYNC on the cover so many years ago. Death or glory, it's The Clash right here on the Toolbox. Now every Jeep puts back the bargain with the world. From Carolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, comedian Matthew Broussard. With Gina Grad on news, Bald Brian on sound effects, and a spirited round of the Rotten Tomatoes game. And now, wishing a happy Juneteenth to our tons of black listeners. Our tens of black listeners. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but get a mandate to get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. We love that about you, right, Gina Grad?
That's right.
And Bald Brian.
Who is number one?
Minka's number one. All right. I forgot about Minka, but I love her drops. All right.
Well, that was Gina Grad special.
Yeah, that was me.
Come on,
buddy. Oh, that was Gina?
Yeah,
it's early. I got to hear it again.
Who is number one?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, I'm so Pavlovian.
It's a cover.
Condition.
Yeah, it's a cover.
It's a
tribute.
Right. Yes, yes. A tip of the tits to the great Minka, who's the number one big boob. The number one big boob queen, I think, is a better drop because the word queen is where she has her difficulty.
Asian big boob queen.
Oh, that's right. All right. So I'm very interested in the phenomenon that many people suffer from. I think you guys will maybe be guilty of it. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I think we should all try not to be guilty of it. But when you have interactions with people, especially sometimes people you collaborate with or people you live with or married to or what have you, kids sometimes – you have exchanges, you have discussions, and by nature, many of these discussions you have, because they're sort of spontaneous, you don't exactly have all the answers. You have thoughts. Some people have this sort of overwhelming desire to prove their point. Mm. Actually, each side probably has a strong desire to prove their point.
Sure.
But some people are willing to go, I don't know. And others have such a strong desire that they actually will talk with certitude about things they know nothing of, which happens a lot. And it's really unfair because neither one of you knows, but the other one, it's a strong component. Like, I remember one time Jimmy picked me up and we're driving to Yosemite. Mm. And I said, hop on the freeway. It was up on
Barham or something. I said, hop on the 101 and we'll go here. And he's like, nah, we can't go. We didn't do it. And then we went down the other way on Barham. And I said, don't get on the freeway. And he's going, we got to get on the 5. The 5's the freeway that goes right past us. And I said, he said, we're going to hop on the 101 or the 134, like heading for Pasadena. And then we're going to get on to the 5. And I said, you can't get from the 134 to the 5 heading toward Yosemite. You can go toward downtown, but you can't go the other way. There's no ramp. And he said, I took it yesterday.
Oh, well,
and I said, wow, I've lived in this. I grew up here and I've never seen that ramp.
Brand
and he
new.
Said, I took it yesterday. I went to Costco in Burbank. I took it. Okay. All right. Well, you win this argument then. So we got on the 101 and then we got off on Victory and cut across. And I said, what happened to the ramp? Now, he had a strong desire to do something, and that's his wiring, and that's how we're going. Now, I don't even call it lying. It's just my desire has overwhelmed the facts.
He believes it 100%.
Right. Now, it works a lot of time for a lot of people, but a lot of people have that.
Mm.
And it always puts you at a deficit because you're just arguing about the stuff that is, and they're constructing things as they go. And so I just had this discussion with, and it's a gene or it's a thing. Some people just have that thing. Many people, most people, I would say, have that thing. I was just talking to Mike August. Mike August has that thing.
Oh, you're going to hate Venice.
So I said, although you would never call Mike August a liar.
No.
And you would call him a fairly accurate guy, but he also has a strong desire for things. And when you have a strong desire for things, you're able to construct things. So I said to him, I've had a million of these discussions with him where he said, there's this thing in Salt Lake City. They want you to do a blah, blah, blah. And I said, when is that? And he said, it's August 19th, 20th. I said, I'm in Monterey. I'm pretty sure that's Monterey weekend.
Right.
That's the car racing weekend. And then he said, this is the first one. He goes, no, I think that's the weekend before.
Oh.
And I said, I don't know. I've seen a few emails.
Wait a minute. When did you have this conversation with August? Earlier today?
I had one yesterday and then one today.
Gina, interesting.
We got an email from Mike August 72 hours ago outlining the dates with the number.
Days ago.
I know. August, well, before you get too incensed, I think that was based on this conversation.
Oh,
so
okay.
It wasn't. First.
I was going to say, if he sent that email, then has this conversation.
Very
examined. Well, now we're in the tumor area.
Yeah,
but
this
no,
is bad.
It's what inspired the email.
Okay,
but so he said, the Utah thing's 19th, 20th, and then Monterey, that's the 13th or whatever it is. And I said, I don't think so. It's usually the third week, or it's usually a little further than halfway. Mm-hmm. Of the month. It'll be the 17th, 18th, or however the calendar lands. And he said, no, I think it's whatever. And
sticking to his guns.
All right. Well, go ahead and check. But I think I know the answer. And then he went ahead and checked. And sure enough, it is on that weekend.
And then we got our email.
Right.
So then you got your email. Then I had the conversation today, which is, how about this?
Yeah.
They said they will send a private jet.
Ooh la la. To Monterey?
To Monterey.
Oh,
ooh,
now you're big dogs.
One of many.
Yeah, that's right.
The airport is sort of between the Airbnb and the track. I always see the beautiful planes flying
striking
in.
Distance.
And then you go from there to Utah. You do your thing. I said, maybe. I have to kind of figure out what time and what day and, you know, maybe. And then I said, Monterey's a little further from Salt Lake City than L.A., right? And he went, no, it's closer.
Oh, well, there you go.
Right.
Okay, because Salt Lake City is pretty far north, and so is Monterey, but I haven't looked at a map in a while, so you tell me what the result is.
I never use a map. I use my arms. I'm always like, and I'm pretty good with the arm thing. Like I said, it always bothers me when I'm
in a commercial building and someone goes, yeah, I'm out in Santa Monica, and they point toward Valencia. Yeah. I'm like, turn it around. Yeah, exactly. Turn it around. And they're like, why? And I'm like, because you're pointing to fucking Valencia, and Santa Monica's behind you. Or don't point at all.
Well, I'll this would be fun. Gina, where's Santa Monica? Quick, point. Quick.
So, yeah, I would move it. I would move it. Maybe a little more that. A little more forward.
But at least I'm facing the right direction.
Yeah. So.
Nailed it.
So all I'm doing is pointing, and I'm like, Monterey is that way. I'm pointing toward my back, and Utah's more that way. And I have L.A. closer.
I have the answer.
And he goes, no. It's not. They're on this same parallel, he said, or something. Maybe
prime, the line of longitude?
Yeah. Equidistance.
The prime meridian. And so I was like, Look, it's a private jet. It's, you know, who cares? Yeah. But just for sake of argument, I think Monterey's a little further away from Salt Lake City. He goes, no, it's closer. And I go, are you in front of your computer? And he goes, no, I'm walking. Sure. I go, okay. And we hang up the phone and I call Chris. Yeah.
You couldn't just look this up on your phone.
Distance, and I was driving. Okay. Distance in miles from L.A. to Salt Lake City, 688. Mm-hmm. And from Monterey to Salt Lake City is 835.
Which one's bigger?
Which is not, it's not significant, but it's percentage-wise, it's way more than 10%.
Yes.
Further, 20% further away. Whatever it is, it's further. Yeah. Which I knew, except for I was driving. And the person I was talking to had certitude.
Yeah.
And I'm saying it's unfair to all of us. I'm looking at you sometimes, Chris, where you go, here's what I know. And you're going, I don't know. Mm-hmm. All I know is I don't think that is right. That's all I got for you right now. I can't access anything. I just know. I feel like that's not true. And I have a pretty good compass. That's what I'm basing on. And when I say compass, I don't mean for directions. I just mean just sort of.
The vibe.
The general. I have 3 to 7 conversations a day where people are telling me, here's what's going on. And I'm going, I don't think that's the way it is. But they go, nope, I know. And I fire back with, I feel like maybe that's incorrect.
There's Adam with his feelings again.
But I should just have more certitude. I should go, you're fucking retarded, Magellan. I know where fucking as slow is, and it's much further away from Monterey. Like, I should say it that way and try to, but you win the argument, but I don't know if you win the day.
Yeah. You win the battle. Do you win the war? I think in a lot of cases, I mean, I don't know why it would apply to this. Maybe you just really, really want to be right. But what the person is actually saying isn't, I know this is right, but this is what I want. And I want it more than you want your thing.
This is what I want. And I will bend the compass and the rules and the
space
longitudes and the latitudes to be right. Yes. And I get that's what you want.
Yeah.
Everyone enters a conversation with sort of what they want.
An angle, sure.
But you're not allowed to have – don't have it be as big a part of your argument as the facts.
Yeah.
What you want, your own personal desire. See if you can remove that from the equation.
Again, and Brian, I think you're probably in that sweet spot too, because that is exactly what 6-year-olds do. You explain the logic and they just look at you, blink, blink, but I want it.
Every single thing we're talking about, by the way, that I complain about, it's all what 6-year-olds do. It's just people are having trouble making the transition from the 6-year-old to the 56-year-old. Yeah. All right. The other thing I was looking up, which is all over the news now, it's, the feds have hiked the interest rates 0.75%, and they're looking to hike them up another half a point, and blah, 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 blah. And I will say this. There are certain things. I'll tell you the one good part that I kind of miss about being poor. Mm. You put the news on, it's like the Dow is down 278 points and the NASDAQ is going through the fucking floor and the GDP from last year is not, and the feds are thinking about raising the, and I'm like, knock yourself out, fucking nerds. I'm going back to my shitty apartment with my fucking, driving my Mazda pickup truck. I paid $1,100 for and eating some more ramen. Yeah. You guys, you fucking Poindexers, fucking duke it out down on the floor of the NASDAQ. Right. I don't give a fuck, you know. And when you get money and you start hearing about the stock market and housing and the index and the feds and stuff, and the difference between getting a mortgage, especially out here, like $1 million house or something, or $2 million house, or especially $5 million house, and you know, you paying 2.5% or 5.5%, it's like thousands and thousands of dollars a month. Like, it is fucking devastating how much more you pay with just a couple of points.
Have fun out shopping.
I trust me, I'm very aware of everything you're talking about.
So I was like, and I you know, I don't have any of that in front of me, but I mean, out here, you're not dealing with a house that's $165,000. You're dealing with a house that's $1.4 million, and the difference between 2.5% and 5.5% is thousands a month, and it's fucking brutal. And so I was like, and everyone was wringing their hands, the feds, they got to keep raising it so we don't have a recession and blah, blah, blah. And then I just hearkened back once again to, oh, when I graduated high school and I was wandering around looking for jobs and
filling
there was
out
no jobs. And yeah, except for I couldn't fill out an application.
Yeah, how would you do that?
Ostensibly.
But
signing an X.
And again, it's
coloring is filling in.
It was a bad economy, and the economy is bad now. And the difference is everyone is hiring versus bad economy, nobody hiring. Yeah. When I was out looking for a job after high school with no direction, thinking about, you know, joining the Coast Guard Reserve or something, going to places in Van Nuys and getting brochures for, like, you could be an ambulance driver in 3 weeks, you know, or you could learn to trim beards or something, like coming home with brochures.
Not a firefighter, but an ambulance driver.
Well, I tried, but so I went and looked it up last night. I was like, man, 1983. So everyone's wringing their hands now in doom and gloom because Fannie Mae just raised the 30-year index, whatever. Oh, it's 5.7. I went and looked it up last night, 1983, when I was wandering around looking for something.
Wasn't it crazy?
13.8.
Yeah, double digits.
13.
Get yourself a CD ladder.
13.8.
Crazy.
We're wringing our hands over 5. This was 13.
Did people just wander around like Aborigines? You can't do anything.
I was nowhere near buying anything, and I had no money. Mm. So the only way it affected me is nobody was hiring anybody for some reason. I don't know how that worked. In 81, it was 16. So yeah. I graduated in 82. So the year before I graduated, it was 16.5. And then the year after it was 13.8 or whatever. Wow.
I don't claim to be any kind of financial expert. My understanding is that the interest rates correspond to savings accounts and like certificates of deposits or whatever. So you might be getting hammered on, like, for example, you know, your loans. But if you had like a savings account, right, wouldn't it be earning 16%?
This is
a place of ignorance.
Yes, so. No, it was. It was.
But that doesn't apply to you in
1983. No, I didn't have any T-bills working for myself. But I do remember at the time walking into the home savings and loan on Laurel and Ventura. Still there, I think.
Really?
Laurel and Ventura.
Maybe. I can't think
there's
of
it. A big corner bank there. I don't think it got converted into a Starbucks or anything.
Hope, yeah.
Possibly.
Laurel and Ventura.
Next to the old Dupars?
Yeah, across the street from
me.
I remember going
Brian,
in there and
don't
seeing.
Worry about it.
I've seen T bills at like 15%, 19%, you know, 5-year T bills, you know, 19% or whatever. It's crazy. I didn't have any money, but I did have this thought. Like one of here's my earliest financial thought. I was probably cleaning carpets and making $160 a week, or maybe less, because I was making $160 a week. At that time, I remember thinking, and I wasn't figuring taxes or anything. It's like if you made $100,000 a year, you were rich. Yeah, it's still there. It's the First Republic Bank now. No. So I remember thinking, I'll bet you Molly Ringwald has $1 million in the bank. Mm-hmm. And you could be Molly Ringwald, and you could have $1 million in the bank, and you could be at like 13-15%
compound interest.
Mm-hmm. No, or not even compound. You just could live off the interest.
Off the juice.
You'd make $130,000 a year. And I was like, nobody needs more than $100,000 a year. You know, my rent is, you know, I'm whacking it up three ways.
You looked around your house and, yep.
I was like, you know, you'd open the newspaper and you could buy a Ford Ranger and make payments for $185 a month. Yeah. You know what I mean? This is $9,000 a month.
You know what I mean?
Like $9,000, you know, you pay Ford Rangers.
40 Ford Rangers.
Yeah, I was like, no one needs more than $100,000 a year. Molly Ringwald put her $1 million in the bank and get $125,000 a year and live like a queen for the rest of her life. Yeah. I never would have to work again. I remember,
park your money.
Yeah, that's what I remember thinking at the time.
And but, you could have been Mr. Molly Ringwald.
Oh, my God. Yeah. What if you brought this information to her?
The heir to the
Great
throne.
Great news.
Because by then, she had done
Breakfast Club or Pretty in Pink. She certainly did Candles. Facts of Life. Yeah, 16 Candles she did.
Oh, she's a huge star. One of the biggest stars in the world at that point.
But by 83?
Yeah.
No. 84 or 16 Candles.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Well, we'll get the discography on her movies. But I had to establish in my head that she has $1 million. And it's somewhere.
You're going to find
and
it.
And now she can just sit back and live off the interest. And that's the way I looked at it. But it today, everyone's wringing their hands at 5. When I was out of high school, it was almost 14.
Jeez.
I don't want to do this. And I'm going to preface it by saying you are right. You were right. You are right. You continue to be right. However, I should point out the flight from Monterey to SLC is 606 miles. Flight from LAX to SLC, 590 miles. So it's almost the same.
Flight.
Because when you do, there's no direct flight. You can't look it up. It's like a private thing. They do aeronautical miles.
Oh, good.
If you look at the driving distance, which I'm sure Gina did, I'm sure everyone did, you have to drive around the goddamn Sierra Nevadas.
Oh, well, look, I will take this because Chris said driving or flying, and I just said the mileage.
The distance.
The distance.
No,
between,
you can't look up flight times. Everything's connecting. There's no direct flights unless you're
private. Saying, but I can't.
No, I asked Adam, as the crow flies or driving, because that's usually different mileage, but Adam said mileage, so I went driving.
Oh, you went driving.
Well, yeah, because if you Google just miles between, it'll just give you the driving. Yeah.
Ultimately,
it won't give you, I mean, you can't ascertain the distance between two places
I Googled
on the internet.
And ended up on a site called airmilescalculator.com, and they told me the distance, flight distance between the two.
But if you want to know, I'm not interested in the flight at all. I'm just saying the distance between this place and that place, it automatically
puts driving distance.
Oh, it does?
It did for mine.
I don't know if flight's an option there. Like, is there an airplane icon?
Maybe.
But
let me look
there's no up. Just distance between the two places?
I'm sure there is.
Like, I put in distance Monterey to Salt Lake City, and it comes up 12 hours, 21 minutes, 834.8 miles via the 180 East.
Oh.
That's the thing that comes up.
I feel like I've done distance, but maybe it was always just driving. But
oh, you could go by biking.
No, but I mean, like, if it said the distance between here and Bali or anywhere in Europe or any destination on the planet, could we not get that distance? Or would it all be flight or driving? Not to Bali, but
I got one for L.A. to Salt Lake City as a crow flies, but I'm not finding Monterey just because nobody really wants to know that.
Charter that flight. Okay, so just to prove the point, I put in LAX to Indonesia distance just to see what option would it give me foot by foot. What would it give me? And it just says it just gives me the miles, 8,353 miles.
Oh, okay.
So,
but the miles, but we don't know if that's flight miles or something.
That's the literal distance between
total straight line mileage from from Salt Lake City to LAX or vice versa is 589. That's what Chris has figured out. But we don't have it from Monterey. All right. Well, we owe Mike an apology.
Oh. No, you're still right. The point's moot ultimately because it is a little closer to LAX. However, it's not quite the difference, I should say, between LA versus Monterey.
I'm more I found obsessed with us not being able to find distances.
From Monterey, it's 612. There you go. So 589 versus 612.
Mm. Oh, so it is further.
Yes, I said that.
Oh, yeah, okay. I just want to make sure. All right. It is further, but something with the flights. But if you're flying private, then...
Who gives a shit?
Who gives a shit? All right. Marginally further, which is what was in my head when I was talking to Mike. All right. Let's see. We have Brian came across a bumper sticker he wants to discuss.
That's one way to put it. Okay. So we're all familiar with the Prius, with the festooned and coexist and save the way. Put up a picture just for example. We all know what we're talking about, right? The Prius that's just covered in sort of empty sort of liberal messaging. You get the idea.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's all the platitudes.
You see a lot out here.
Healthcare for all.
It's all
go to war.
You can blame John Lennon for his imagined, like no borders, no possessions, no hate, no harm. Like, yeah, imagine. Yeah, but it shouldn't be. The problem is it went from the fucking stoned out artist into the politicians.
Right.
They're like, I want to imagine a world with no police, but community policing and stuff. Like, yeah, me too. Except for there's crazy people throwing people down staircases.
That's right. I'm going to go you one further, John. I'm going to reimagine
policing.
And also look at the sweet irony. There's 20 bumper stickers on this car. And one of them says less stuff.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
Yeah. All right, yeah, say no to war.
Oh, sweet irony.
This person is pro-child and pro-family and pro-choice, and they want less stuff and their health care for all. Again, it's hard to argue about health care for all. Mm. The question is the execution of health care for all.
Sounds good.
And it's hard to argue with say no to war. I completely concur.
I would love that.
You got to tell Putin that. Yeah. Unfortunately, that's how it works.
So this is the example. This is a Google image, I'm sure.
Okay.
I was on the freeway, going pretty fast, so the picture might be blurry. I was behind a similar but very different individual. Put that picture up. You tell me.
What are we doing
I want to talk to, intellectually honest Adam Carolla. Wherever he is, find him. The guy who used to say on Loveline, would you rather live next door to a bunch of potheads or a bunch of meth heads? Find that guy. Bring him in the studio.
Potheads.
And then I want to ask him, which guy would you rather live next to?
I don't know what's written on these paragraphs.
Okay, so these are custom made vertically to his work truck, and they are screeds against Elon Musk. Fauci's up there, Biden's up there. There's Hunter Biden stuff. On the side of his car, there's Hunter Biden stuff.
Let's not call it a car. This is a big truck with a lift gate on the back of it.
This is a moving billboard.
This took a lot of coordination.
Yeah.
These are not haphazard bumper stickers.
No.
Yes.
Is that some masonry symbolism all the way to the left?
There's
the
lot Illuminati. Going on.
This is a big flatbed pickup industrial. This isn't a pickup truck.
No.
This is a work industrial, almost like you'd see Caltrans truck next to the side of the freeway with a big lift gate in the back of it.
And look, everything is like perfectly sized. Like he worked
beautifully. Done.
I'd let the guy handle my outdoor advertising needs. That much I'll give the devil his due there.
Indeed.
So he hates Obama.
He hates a lot of things.
Biden. He hates Fauci. I get that. I don't know why he's hating Elon Musk, but he feel like
power
he got
broker
lumped in.
Kind of thing.
And then. Who's on the right?
I don't know if you can zoom.
Right. Is that Trump?
I think that's
Elizabeth Warren.
What?
I was going 60 miles an hour.
We'll pump it up and see what we can see on the right. Yes. So
it looks like Trump and Biden.
Trump and Biden.
That's Trump and Biden together.
This is more manifesto car than it is like, I don't doubt this guy leans one way over the other, but he is more buckshot, you know what I mean?
Are you suggesting this is a movable red flag law?
I'll simply say, if inject yourself with truth serum. The someone says to you, "Oh, there was a school shooter, and we impounded his vehicle for evidence." It's one of these two: the Prius or the truck. Mm. Which one is it? Your life depends on it.
Mm. Probably not.
I think we all know the answer.
Yeah,
the bottom left one's the only one that's legible in this photo. It says "White males matter."
That's white males matter. That's Donald Trump.
This guy. All right. So here's my argument to this. Everyone would say this guy's doing the school shooting. There's no doubt about it. My argument is there's 7,000 Priuses for every one of these guys.
That's
maybe 25,000 for
picture.
Everyone.
This is so unusual.
And the Priuses are setting the policy. This guy's not setting the policy. So
he's
I still
his own policy.
Argue the Prius is doing more damage to community. But if someone shoots anything up, I want this guy's dump truck. Although, Brian, maybe the guy just purchased the truck used and that was on it. We cannot
I jumped to conclusions. This is me being intellectual.
I'm more interested in this guy's relationship.
Look how long those screeds are. It's in paragraphs.
I got to say, for L.A. traffic, this is a plus. Because I find myself just sitting there.
Yeah.
Staring at whatever model the guy in the Mercedes is badge in front of me.
Right.
This at least gives you something to do.
If you're in traffic, this is a godsend.
If you're in traffic, this is
the old toothpaste tube in the bathroom before cell phones. You know, you got to have something to read.
It's the tire rotating industry newsletter pamphlet that's at the Big O tire place when the guy goes, "It'll be another 25 minutes," and you're just sitting there staring at the coffee pot that's burnt. And you go, "Fuck it, I'll read anything."
Do you have anyone's manifesto? That sounds more interesting. Oh, good.
Also, is a brick line out.
To be fair to him, you can see this guy from outer space.
Yeah.
The brake lights, the last of your worries.
That's
but
true.
Yeah,
wow.
I wonder what this guy, did you get alongside of him?
I did. Oh, no, I didn't get into that conversation, but there was more.
No, but I mean, big bearded white guy.
Male, obviously, has short hair. That's all I could see. It was not traffic-y.
The reason I'm asking is because he's doing some kind of real blue-collar-y work in this town. And that's the realm of the Hispanic, but this isn't the realm of the Hispanic.
Do you think he's in from out of town? Is this Valencia folk?
Yeah.
See me.
But then what could you do? Like, how could you work in L.A. and pull up in front of a residence?
That's what I was
thinking. He doesn't give a shit.
Palisades. Well, he doesn't give a shit, but the homeowner in the Palisades.
Ask him to finish the job.
Once a cement contractor is going to see that shit and send him packing, right? Yeah.
God forbid you ask him about it.
Oh, God. How much time do you have? That's interesting.
All right, let's see.
He's on the show tomorrow.
I can palate cleanse all of this for you if you'd like.
I'll tell you what. Why don't we do that after the break?
Right.
Let me hit Freshly first. All right. Want to take the stress out of cooking? Freshly, quality meals without the hard work. Designed by nutritionists, cooked by chefs, delivered fresh, ready to eat in 3 minutes, and at the end of a long day. Takeout shouldn't be your only option. Freshly has so many great meals and so many great options. Just go to their website, check it out. Use the Freshly website or the app to find the meals that fit your lifestyle, dietary needs, taste, and family size. Choose from over 50 nutritionist-designed entrees. New meals added weekly. Skip the grocery shopping and the dirty dishes and get yourself set up with something fresh and something nutritious with Freshly. Right, Dawson?
Stop stressing about dinner. Right now, Freshly is offering our listeners $125 off your first 5 orders when you go to Freshly.com/ACS. That's $125 off at Freshly.com/ACS.
All right. We'll take a quick break. We got Rotten Tomatoes to play. We got a palate cleanser from Gina. We got it all right after this. Would you love to save some money on your insurance? Of course you would. And who doesn't love a deal when it comes to great rates on insurance for everything? GEICO can help. Insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, RV. Even your homeowners, condo, or renter's insurance, they are all covered with GEICO. Save even more with special discounts when you bundle coverages together. Plus, they have an easy-to-use GEICO mobile app and 24/7 roadside assistance, so it's easy to switch to GEICO. It's a no-brainer. Switch today and see just how much you could save at geico.com. Go there and get a rate quote or contact a local agent.
It's time to check Adam's voicemail.
Hi, guy. Yo, H-Man, I work on a crew of about 11 or 12 guys. None of us wear masks except for one guy, and he wears it constantly. Driving alone, outside alone, in a group of people, 24/7 mask on. One of us was out 2 weeks with COVID. I'll give you a guess of which one of us it was. Fucking science, Ace Man. Get it on.
You can leave us a message at 888-634-1744.
I know. Now in L.A., it's the...
Seeing people driving alone with masks.
It's the news's fault. I was just watching the local news last night, and they did this thing where it's like, Barbara Ferrer says if we keep heading in the direction we're heading, we may have to institute indoor masking again to stop the spread of... And it's like, oh... Why not just rubbing our tummies and patting our heads to stop the spread? Like this notion of we turn into weird, like superstitious natives. Like those fucking paper masks don't do anything. And now it's been proven that they're ineffective, but we need to reinstitute this thing to stop the spread. And the newscaster's just going, the guy's on, you know, they send him down to the Grove and he does, we may have to come back to you. See, we may have to reinstitute this to slow the spread down and back to you. This is why I could never be in the news, because I'd be like, hey, Chet, it doesn't stop the fucking spread. So what the fuck are we doing here?
It's more an editorial.
They just sit and they nod. Well, we may have to reinstitute that. Okay. Just here, though.
Guy driving the truck, I didn't get a great look. No mask.
No mask.
That I know for sure. That
Chris,
I know for sure.
I owe you a dinner. We had a little bet going. All right. Gina's got a palate cleanser. I have a non-palate cleanser, which is I just pick out things and I just focus and obsess over them and drill down on them.
What?
But it is a situation which is, I think we can play that clip of Biden and the LGBT whatever thing, but I've been saying since Jump Street, you know, when I go, I'm going to appoint the first black female and we're going to have the first Hispanic. It's like, just get fucking good people who know how to do the job. We're talking about the country here. We're not talking about a fucking daycare center. We're talking about people making like real policy. And it's like, I need a woman in this role. I need a black in this role. I need a gay black, you know, the spokesperson for the White House, she's the first African American woman of color who also is a lesbian. It's like, I get it. I'm all for you if they're doing jobs that don't really matter that much. But if they're the pilot of the airplane we're in, just get the fucking guy or girl or gay or whatever the most fucking experience.
Or just do it and don't announce you're going to do it, because you hamstring that person for the rest of their lives. They're only there because...
And what is the logical... So, but I'll go along with you with this thought experiment. Kamala Harris, everyone agrees she's horrible. All right. So she's a black woman.
She agrees.
She doesn't agree. Everyone on both sides of the aisle is like, she is a fucking shit show. Fine. So I will now glean that black women can't do that job.
Oh, boy.
Well, there's the math. I did your math. You go, I'm going to do the first one. This is like saying, it's like... He's like going, this is an NFL football league in 1969. I'm going to get a black quarterback, and I don't care how good he is. I'm just going a black quarterback. Then he's a horrible quarterback, and then the other teams go, I guess that was the wrong direction to go. You're fucking up your own point. When you hire someone that's incompetent just because of their skin color, you actually set the movement back, if you think about it. Right. You're setting it back. So, fact, they can be whatever color and whatever proclivities they want, but they need to be good first, and then that moves it ahead. no different than the quarterback would. You couldn't just go, no, nobody, football's a meritocracy, so they would never do this. But you, if you said, I don't care that this guy throws interceptions every fucking weekend, I want this person in there, then people would go, oh, you're setting the movement back, which you did. But anyway, it's LGBT Pride Month, and Biden's got thoughts.
From day one, this has been the most pro-equality administration in history, led by guys like Pete Buttigieg. And so many others. I think we have more LGBTQ plus people than any administration or every administration combined. No, I really mean it. I totally mean it.
Biden rattled off the LGBTQ.
Yeah.
All right.
Lucky guess.
It's fine, but we still... The goal isn't to have the most of this group. The goal is to have the best of all the groups.
Right.
In terms of policy, if you want to fucking run a daycare center, then do what the fuck you want. Pete Buttigieg is not doing a great job in the transportation department, but he's gay. So rest, America, or be at ease, or hey, guys who have to pay for diesel fuel or the supply chain or whatever, don't worry, the guy sucks cock. You can rest. Rest easy now. The guy in the truck that's getting 6 miles a gallon who was in front of you and paying $7 a gallon, he can rest easy.
Indeed.
Knowing that Pete Buttigieg sucks cock on the weekend.
I know it was a concern.
Rest
to him.
Easy.
I'm sure that was a concern.
All right. I think I have a happy compromise.
Oh.
Here.
Look at how the uniter.
My feeling is if you want to do the secretary of this or the leader of that, and these are huge departments that are very impactful, and you got to go gay because you need that diverse. We have to have
tons
of gay people in here.
Going.
That dude's got to be a top. We got to figure it out. I don't want any bottoms in that role.
No,
I need a
power
guy.
Bottoms.
Guys in charge.
Okay.
In charge. You know what I mean?
So you're assuming, so we can...
And
we,
I feel like...
A shot caller.
A top, yeah, shot caller. That Brian's right. I feel like the top, maybe even above the heterosexual dude who could be pee-whipped.
Oh, for sure.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm saying we're going to vet him.
Uh-huh.
Let's keep vetting.
Let's get that nanny cam in the bedroom.
Gay is good.
Yeah.
You don't have to announce it at the podium. Tops only.
I like this. Gay is good, but tops are tops.
That's right.
That's good.
Got the word top right in it.
Yeah.
What if there's someone who's so fucking qualified? What if Elon Musk comes to Joe Biden and says, I want to be your Secretary of Energy. I want to run that department, kick ass. We say, all right, fine, you can do it. Have to go gay. At least for one occasion.
Oh, yeah.
See what I'm saying? Like, in order to get in, you got to get in.
That's fine. And again, you get to be a top.
There's no question.
What's the difference?
Yes. All right. So.
Well, on that note. I appreciate that Biden wanted to be inclusive during Gay Pride Month, and then we'll forget about it the rest of the year. I think that is a wonderful thing.
So cynical.
And to that point, I applaud everything the Hershey Chocolate Company is doing. And I'm sorry, did I say Hershey? I meant Hershey.
Oh.
Because
I was
at the drugstore yesterday. I was checking out and I thought, what is this display? And I took a picture. I said, what? And
celebrates.
Celebrate and now- her S-H-E. She. And the girl, she's like, are you buying that? I was like, no. And she goes, why are you taking a picture of it? And I didn't know what to say.
Very unusual.
I go, because it's cute. Yeah. And she's like, oh, okay. So I had to
do
some
investigating. Is this like a breast cancer awareness thing?
No, it is not. So
we should point it to the listeners. Yeah. It's pink. Pay celebrate. S-H-E.
Well, the she is in pink.
Is in pink.
And
everything
the celebrate
else is
at the top.
Right.
Right.
And there's a whole display. There's ones that are rainbow. There's ones that are different colors. Celebrate her she. And I thought, I got to know. So I asked her. I'm like, when did these come in? She's like, well, it's Gay Pride Month. And I'm like, okay. So is this specifically for like the trans community? Like what? I don't get it.
Yeah.
Looked it up. Here's what the press release says.
By the way,
Hershey
it's
Company.
Not called the Cadbury or Mars Highway. So you got to know your audience.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
So I went on their press release, and this is from February, the end of February. It says, celebrate. So they're not moving a lot of these. Celebrating the central role women and girls play in our lives, the Hershey's brand is highlighting the she at the center of the iconic Milk Chocolate Bar as part of Women's History Month celebrations. I didn't know we had one. Apparently, it's March. This new Hershey's bar is a colorful reminder to celebrate the impact that she, all caps, makes. And then it says, from daughters, mothers, sisters, aunts, friends, neighbors, mentors, coaches, coworkers, to the barista who knows your order by heart, take a moment to celebrate she. These limited edition Celebrate She bars are now available. So in terms of, you know, somebody who can't leave the state because they don't have a car and stuff and they can't get an abortion and, you know, they've been raped.
By a Hershey bar.
Yeah, it's 6 weeks and 3 days and they're fucked. Or, you know, the fact that there's a tampon shortage and, you know, the women and girls are subjugated all over the world. The problem's over. We solved it. Hershey solved it, you guys.
Well, obviously, they just pander like all big companies.
Come on,
just
that's
pander
cynical.
Now. So it always feels. It feels like a politician standing in front of a black church speaking with a southern drawl, except for the politician's from New Mexico
when
or
Clinton
something.
Clinton wouldn't stop talking about her hot sauce
it's
affinity.
Like, it's a weird – it just feels icky to me. It seems totally satisfying or satisfying to a large amount of people in this country, but it feels – it. I don't even like, you know, like – when politicians go, I have children too, so I understand firsthand your feelings. Like, it just always feels weird to me, but I guess it's satisfying for a lot of people. But I have been saying this for a million years, which is I think a lot of this symbolic shit is not a sort of, oh, neither here nor there. I think it satiates and it fucks us up more.
Well, I think you're right.
I think we act like we're doing something and it does. It's actually worse.
And that's the problem. We talked about that in the Postmates thing, you know, even though that ad campaign was amazing about the bottoms. It's like, well, why aren't you using this money to pump up your own brand? Why aren't you giving it to the people you're pandering to?
Yeah, it's just the problem with all of what we're talking about, whether it's the
plenty of organizations out there.
Tommy Lift tailgate on the guy with the truck, or it's the Prius with all the N-war, whatever. It does nothing. The word, okay, there's two things. If you want to get something done, nothing mixed with satiation is a bad
feat.
That's a negative. So if you go, man, I'm such a fucking lazy sack of shit. I should fucking get some exercise. I look like shit in my underpants, Brian. Shit. God damn it. And then at some point you go, yeah, you know what? I'm going to walk into the kitchen and get a Twinkie. Yeah. And then you sit down and you eat your Twinkie and you go, well, I guess that counted as exercise.
Kitchen, huh?
You've satiated.
Yeah.
You've somehow fooled yourself into thinking you've done something. And now it's worse because you're better off in the mode where you're going, fuck, I still haven't exercised. This is, and you run into this with people all the time. Like, have you ever had these, you know, sometimes you'll get an assistant or somebody and you'll go like,
boom,
what's going on with my airline miles? And they go, I called. And I go, well, what do we got? And I go, they didn't call back, you know, and I go, when was that? 7 years ago. And I'll go like, okay, I don't feel, you feel like you've done something.
Yeah.
But this is actually worse. You've done nothing.
Right. Well, and
you've done nothing, but you feel a little satiated, a little satiated. And I argue all the fucking flags and all the stickers and all the things and all the companies and even the big marches and all this stuff has this feeling like we're going to paint BLM in the intersection where five black guys are going to get shot later on this weekend. But we'll put our big BLM out there. It's like it's worse. You should just sit around and be hungry. You know, I'm going to go, fuck. I feel completely unsatiated. I want something to get done. I want some needles moved.
Right.
Not, I don't want to. This is all done to satiate.
Mm-hmm.
It actually makes you just go, all right. Well, it's not our work is done. It's like, enough for today.
Yeah. No, you're right.
Right. But enough for today. You put something on a wrapper of a candy bar. That's not.
We did it, everybody.
Or you show me where it moved the needle. Show me the graph where since we started painting Black Lives Matters on intersections, things have changed dramatically for the community we represent. It never does.
This is February. I say things got worse for women in the last 3 months.
I couldn't agree more. But you actually just gave me a great idea, Adam. You know what San Francisco's campaign should be to clean up all the heroin usage?
Mm-hmm.
Campaign Move the Needle.
Yes.
Move the needle.
I like it.
Thank you.
All right. So this according to their website, I was looking at, they're going to donate $150,000.
$150,000 to Girls on the Run, whatever that is.
It's
how much? I just got to
curiosity.
It's the best Fox.
Paul McCartney.
It's the best sweet. It's the best sweet song ever written.
I was thinking Wings.
I know.
It's kind of half in between.
Yeah, but it's like, do you think that printing "She" in pink color costs more than $150,000? I'm guessing
look,
it does.
You know, NFL guys wearing pink socks and
we
and
did it.
Ball gloves and stuff. It doesn't do anything, and unfortunately, I worry that, you know, let's just say micro macro level. We all know people who talk about things, and then we all know people who do things, and they're usually not the same person. The people that do things just kind of do it,
do the
and then there's
talking
the people
about
who
it.
Talk about it. This is the sort of a version of talking about it.
Yeah, absolutely.
And on the people, the reason people talk about stuff is that satiates them too.
Yeah. And I just realized from a personal anecdote that it's, you know who gets shamed a lot of the time? The doers. Because I'm dealing with a lot of family stuff and
estate stuff. The talkers hate the doers.
Oh my God. I've been on people's case about stuff and I'm trying to get stuff done. I'm always trying to get something done. And I was called in, and not in a nice way, I was in an email that they didn't know I was CC'd on.
Oh, that's the best.
She is relentless.
Yeah, you
I'm
know.
Like,
I know.
You're welcome, by the way.
I love the wiring of 71% of Americans. If you go, hey, could you handle, you know, X, Y, or Z? And then 2 days go by and they haven't done it. And you go, hey, remember when we talked about, and they get angry
get
at you?
Off my
it's
ass.
Like, yeah, it's like, that's how you know it's all shame-based by the talkers versus the doers. Because when a doer does talk, it's usually to talk to a talker who's not a doer.
That's well said.
And then you pipe up and you go, you know, we did, you say, you try to soft pedal it. Like, we did talk about doing or whatever. And they get really agitated. But you're like, if you're a
How am I
doer,
the bad guy?
If you're a doer and you drop the ball, like let's say, I know many doers. You know, Mark Garagos is a doer. Dr. Drew is a doer. They love to talk, but not the game.
Not Blovier.
Right, right. They're doers. When you, on the rare chance that a doer drops the ball and you bring it up to them, they go right into, oh, shit, sorry, fuck. Yeah, no, handle,
right,
dumb,
talk about
stupid.
That.
You know what I mean? The talkers go right into, fuck yourself and the fucking horse you rode in on, dude. Like, it's like,
yep.
So the doers experience shame immediately because they know in their head that you did send that email or you did make that request a few days ago and they fucked up and they forgot about it
because
or whatever
their
it is.
Word matters.
The talkers are living in this sort of shame world and their only defense is more words.
Yeah.
For you.
Well, remember that one time you didn't do that thing and 5 minutes went by and it still wasn't done? So fuck you.
I know. And it is weird the amount of punishment you get when you're, I mean, we've all had it in the kind of, I've had it in the roommate. I've had it where we sit. I've had like this warehouse a million years ago was just a complete and utter cluttered mess.
True.
Just a filled with everyone's shit but mine, you know. And like I'd come in and go, why don't we all like take a Saturday and clean this place up, you know? And it'd be like, oh man, whatever. And really, I should say, how about you lazy fuck, so I don't charge rent to you, clean up your own shit now. But instead, I always do like a wee. Right. Like, we could all come here, right, spend a few hours. I'll get some sandwiches and be like, And if you brought it up again, it was like you're bothering them.
Yes.
I what is that? Why do so many people have that? And look, the world is, you know, it's basically the same. It's the same as taxes. It's like 10% of the population pays 96% of the taxes. That's the doers versus the talkers. It's the same ratio. It's like they're 1.5 doers for every 13 talkers, and they fucking do it. It's not distributed evenly. It's they do it. Mm-hmm. It is fucking crazy that we've decided. And the people who should be resentful are the doers. versus the talkers, and the ones that are pissed off are the talkers.
Yep. Let's play some games.
All right. We've ran out of time.
Oh.
Matthew Broussard is a very funny stand-up comedian, and he's, I think he's a doer.
Let's find out.
Well, if you ask him, are you a doer or a talker, and you, and they just nod their head, that means they're a doer. We'll talk. Oh, and he's heading out to Winnipeg. Well, he's going to Winnipeg in July. I went to Winnipeg in February.
Very different.
Very different place. We'll talk to Matthew right after this.